This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to take your copy of God's Word, and we're going to stand. We're going to go to Psalms 147, and I want to call your attention to verses 1 through 5. This is what the Bible says. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant," or it's beautiful, "and praise is comely," or praise is beautiful. "The Lord doeth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite." I want to talk to you about the power of praise. The power of praise. It was Thanksgiving Day, and Snoopy was thinking about Thanksgiving. Snoopy was outside of a home, and he looked in the window of that home, and he saw a beautiful family, and they were gathered around turkey and dressing, cranberry sauce, green beans, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie. And Snoopy said to himself, "My goodness, I should be inside. They're inside having a delicious meal, and I'm outside. And what am I having? I'm having dog food." And then Snoopy thought, and he said, "You know, but things could have been worse. I could have been born a turkey." Well, you know, folks, no matter what the situation, I want you to know it always could be worse. There's always something to be thankful for, and there's always something to praise the Lord for. As I was studying the scriptures this week, I came across a verse that I thought, that is so powerful. It's in Psalms chapter 77. It's verse 3. It says, "I remembered God and was troubled." Look, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." You want your spirit to be overwhelmed? Just complain. Just complain. Because every time, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says it's a promise. Every time we complain, our spirit is going to be overwhelmed. And I've often said, I truly believe, the more you complain, the less you obtain. And the more you praise, the more you raise. There's power in being thankful. And there's power in praising God. This is just a personal evaluation. When I am not thankful, my mind is too much on me. When I am not thankful, my mind is too much on me. There was a man, a theologian from days gone by named Matthew Henry. And Matthew Henry was robbed. And on the day he was robbed, he wrote these words in his journal. This is what Matthew Henry said. He said, "Let me be thankful, first, because I've never been robbed before. Second, because they took my wallet and not my life. Third, they took my wallet, they took my all, but there wasn't much in it. And fourth, it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." There's always something to thank God for. Now, somebody said, "Pastor, what's the difference between thanksgiving and praise?" See, I believe thanksgiving is the foundation. It's what leads to praise. See, thanksgiving is when you express thanks to God for what He has done in your life. Thanksgiving is when you express thanks to God for what He has done in your life. But praise is when you express esteem to God simply for who He is. You know what was interesting studying the Bible? As important as prayer is, do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible speaks more about praising God than it does praying to God? The Bible puts a greater emphasis on praising God than it does even praying to God. Now, I believe there's five reasons why praise is so important. And by the way, it's vitally important. I was reading this last night. I put the sermon together, but I was just reading some things. And I ran across this quote by a man named R.T. Kendall. I told somebody, I think everybody I quote is dead or just about dead. But I ran across this quote by R.T. Kendall. And this is what he said. I wish it was mine, but it's not mine. R.T. Kendall said, sometimes loud music drowns out one singing, and that is not good. But he said, but I long for the day that a congregation will be so overcome with thankfulness that they drown out the music. I long for the day when a congregation will be so overcome with thankfulness and the goodness of God that we literally drown out the music. Amen. Now, why is praise so important? Why is it so important that we praise the Lord? First reason why it's so important that we praise the Lord is praise glorifies God. Praise glorifies God. The scripture tells us in Isaiah 43 and 7, for everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. People have asked, Pastor, why am I here? I'll tell you why you're here. You're here to glorify God. What's our lives supposed to be about? Our lives are supposed to be about glorifying God. Whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we ought to do it all to the glory of God. Everything we do in life, we ought to do for the glory of God. I remember years ago, we had a gentleman in our church. He was seated right over there, and I was introducing him. And I said, this man is the first man in the world to ever take two babies, two twins that were conjoined at the head, and separate those babies. This man was the first man ever to do that. And when I recognized Ben Carson for doing that, I'll never forget what he did. He pointed up. What was he saying? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Let me tell you what praise is all about. Praise is about glorifying God. And what church ought to be about, it ought to be about nothing more, nothing less than glorifying God. Now, when the Bible was written, folks, the Bible wasn't written, the King James Version, by the way, was a translation. It was a translation, and they were 15 translations before the King James, so don't get so captive to something. Get captive to God's Word. God's Word. But the Bible wasn't written in poetic English. The Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And when you take that little word praise, you say, we need to praise the Lord. There was actually seven Hebrew words for praise. So when somebody says praise the Lord, you say, well, How do you praise the Lord? Well, the Bible gives us seven Hebrew words. One word that's given is the word yada. Yada. It's a Hebrew word. It's the same word for praise. By the way, praise is translated from this word. And the word yada means hands extended. It means hands extended. Let me clarify something. Lifting your hands is not a Pentecostal thing. No, you say, I'm Baptist. You can do it too. Amen? Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord, is what Psalms 134 and 2 says. It's not a Methodist thing. It's not a Presbyterian thing. It's a biblical thing, folks. You don't have to do it, but I want you to know it's okay to lift your hands and praise the Lord. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with lifting your hands and praising the Lord. It's very biblical. Biblical. But by the way, folks, there's another word for praise. It's the word barak. It's not lifting your hands in praise. It's bowing down before the Lord. It's getting down just as low before God as you possibly can. It's getting down just as low before God as you possibly can. It's barak. Then there's another word. It's shabak. Shabak. What does shabak mean? It means to shout. It literally means to shout. To shout. You say, but Pastor, if I do all that, they'll think I'm a holy roller. I'd rather roll into heaven than slide into hell. Amen? God wants us to be called and chosen, not cold and frozen. Too many churches have icicles in the pews and a snowman in the pulpit. That's not what God wants. Shabak means to shout. Then there's the word of zamar. Zamar. And can I go back, folks? Shabak, to shout. Folks, we don't just shout because the music is loud. If it's God, there's a shout. It's okay. It's okay to shout when we hit a good point on the Word of God while we're preaching. Zamar, what does that mean? It means to play musical instruments. So we praise God, we glorify God through musical instruments. Halal, halal. We get the word hallelujah. Now, get this word, folks. I dug into it. Halal means loud enthusiasm. Look, it means joy. It means jumping and spinning in celebration. You say, why did that guy jump? I don't know why he jumped. And I may not want to jump. But folks, it's biblical. If that guy wants to jump, let him jump. I don't mind how high he jumps as long as he walks straight after he hits the ground. Spinning in circles. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a spinning circle guy, but if a guy wants to spin, let him spin. It's not like he's done anything wrong, by the way. It's in the Bible. Yeah. Folks, it's so bad when the Bible messes up what we've been taught all of our lives. But Grandma didn't say that. Grandma was wrong. This is what the Bible says. Do we want what Grandpa taught or what the Bible says? Then there's the word toda. Toda. You know what it means? It means praising God as a sacrifice. What it means, folks, you're walking through hell, but you praise the Lord anyway. It means the family's not good, but you praise the Lord anyway. It means the report from the doctor wasn't good, but you praise the Lord anyway. That you didn't get the promotion, you got a demotion. You didn't get an increase, you got a decrease. He didn't walk back in, he walked out. She didn't walk in, she walked out. The report wasn't good concerning the cancer. My cancer's not getting better, my cancer's getting worse. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. But then there's the last word, tequila. Now, not tequila, but tequila. And tequila means words that come to you and you express them to God. It means just when you just, he's wonderful. Oh, he's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of conquerors. He's the head of heroes. He's the leader of legislators. He's the overseer of overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. There's none like him. So what praise does is praise glorifies God. But let me tell you the second thing that praise does. Praise heals our hurts. Praise heals our hurts. Now, if we look at Psalms 147, verse 1, guys, if we can pull that back for me, Psalms 147, verse 1, look what it says. Praise is good. Praise is good. For it is good to sing praises unto God. But hold it, this is so good, folks. So we're singing praises, we're praising God. But look what happens in verse 2 and 3 of Psalms 147. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. Get this down. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. So when we're praising God, God supernaturally, ladies and gentlemen, heals the wounds. The emotional wounds, the mental wounds. He heals the wounds of our heart. When we're praising God, we don't even see it. But while we're praising God, God is saying, I'm doing something supernatural for you. You don't even understand. But while you were singing praise to me, all that hurt that's in your life, all that anguish in your life, all that deep rejection in your life, all that that's going on in your heart, I'm healing. I'm the balm of Gilead. I'm doing a work in your life. That's why Isaiah 61 and 3 says, when we praise, he gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us the oil of joy for mourning. He gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You said, Pastor, just give me a real practical way. Just give me a real practical way to do this. Look what Psalms 9 and 1 says. I'll praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you've done. Let me tell you a real practical way. A practical way. I was just signing books back here at a table, and a brother came back and said, my grandbaby was supposed to be in the hospital several more days, but my grandbaby already got to come home. That's God. He said, that's God. I know the Lord did that. I know the Lord did that, Pastor. And let me tell you something. When you talk about and you tell his deeds among the people and you tell how good God's been to you, God does something supernatural inside of you, and he heals up all that rejection. He heals up all that hurt. He heals up all that pain. So you said, Pastor, I've got deep pain in my heart. What do you recommend? Praise the Lord and let the Lord supernaturally heal the pain, heal the hurt, heal the rejection in your life. And by the way, this is good preaching, amen. I may just spin around. What does praise do? Praise heals our hurts. Let me tell you the third thing that praise does. Praise fortifies our faith. Praise fortifies our faith. Now look what Psalms 147 verses 4 and 5 says. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them all by their names. Folks, you think God doesn't know your name? You think God doesn't know your name? Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. the Milky Way galaxy, 100,000 million stars, and he named them every one. He created them every one, and that's just one of millions of galaxies. So all the stars, God created the world. The rocks, the reels, the hoes, the hills, the birds, the bees, and the flowers and the trees. And I read that verse, and I said to God, I understand now. I understand Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. I'll lift my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and the earth. And folks, when you think about what God has done, when you think about what God has created, when you think about the greatness of our God, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's sovereign, then you're convinced that my God can handle what I'm walking through. My God can handle my situation. My God is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. He is more than enough. I can trust him, and it fortifies my faith. So I'm going to praise him. Let me tell you the fourth thing that praise does. Praise expresses our thankfulness. We're dealing with praise. And look what verse 7 says. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. See, folks, before we can really praise God, we've got to get an attitude of thanksgiving. We've got to get an attitude. Hey, by the way, yesterday you experienced 23,000 breaths. I wonder how many of us said, God, thank you for breath. Thank you that I'm breathing today. Thank you, Lord. Jack Hinton was in Tobago, a leper colony, leading worship. And Jack Hinton said, a lady would walk in every night and take her chair and turn it the opposite direction. You could imagine you came here today and turned your chair and started looking that way. He said that went on night after night. But he said the last night of the revival, she brought that chair in. And he said, I looked at her. And he said, it was the most grotesque thing I've ever looked at. Leprosy had eaten her nose off. Leprosy had eaten her ears off. I was sunken. Jack Hinton said, it was all I could do to look at that lady. And he said, she lifted her hand up. And she said, can I make a selection, a song? He said, yeah. What would you like for us to sing? She said, can we sing Count Your Many Blessings? Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Count Your Many Blessings. See what the Lord has done. Jack Hinton said, when she said that, I ran out of the service. And a man came with me. And he said, Brother Hinton, you'll never sing that song again, will you? And he said, yeah. I'll sing it again. But I'll never sing it the same way. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. Praise expresses our thanksgiving. Praise expresses. This is my Bible. This is my Bible. And I keep things in it. I keep pictures of my family. I keep cards in it. I keep some cards from Savannah. She'll never know it. Where she said, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I wonder, folks, how many times God would like to hear from us. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. I bet is a figure of speech, but I bet he'd keep the card. Thank you, Daddy. Praise expresses our thankfulness. And lastly, folks, and I'm done. Praise. This is the most important point I'm going to tell you. Praise is our greatest weapon in battle. Praise is our greatest weapon in battle. Now, many of you today, you say, Pastor, I'm in a battle. I'm in a battle. Notice what the Bible says. This whole chapter is dealing with praise. And by the way, you just go home and dig into it deeper. It's wonderful. But in Psalms 147, verse 10 and 11, look what it says. This is the chapter. Sing unto God a thanksgiving hymn. Play music on your instruments to God, who fills the sky with clouds, preparing rain for the earth, then turning the mountains green with grass, feedeth both cattle and crows. Look here. God's not impressed with horsepower. God's not impressed with the size of our muscles. It means little to him. Those who fear God get God's attention. They can depend on his strength. Those who fear God, they get his attention, and we can depend on his strength. Jehoshaphat chapter 20, three armies were coming against Judah, and Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And by the way, there are three armies coming against you: the world, the flesh, and the devil. There are three armies coming against you, folks. We're in a battle. We're in spiritual warfare. We're in spiritual warfare. Let me tell you something. I sat back there today and I'm signing tons of books, tons of books, tons of books. We're putting the Word of God. We're putting the Word of God. We're putting the Word of God out. Folks, the devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't like that. When men are giving their lives at Burroughs Correctional Institution and following the Lord in believers' baptism, the devil doesn't like that. Hell's coming at you when you take a stand and reach people for Jesus. Let me tell you something. Nothing that Benny Tate's got to say is worth a plug nickel. Nothing that I've got to say amounts to anything. The only thing that matters is what God's Word says. God's Word. Nobody drove here today to hear what Benny Tate had to say. Nobody. If you did, I don't want you to. Nobody drove here today to hear what Benny Tate had to say. You drove here today to hear what God had to say. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. The only thing that's going to set you free is the Word of God. God's Word. God's Word. God's Word. God's Word. God's Word. Now listen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The enemies are coming at Jehoshaphat. And I want you to get this down, folks. Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know what to do, you keep your eyes on the Lord. See, the reason why some of you got in the situation you're in is you got your eyes on people, and you got your eyes on situations, and you got your eyes on other things, and you got your eyes off the Lord. You say, Pastor Benny, we want to look to you. No. Don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, because the best of men are men at best. Look to Jesus. I want to point you to Jesus. I don't know what to do. But he said, my eyes are upon you. That's what Jehoshaphat said. And then God said, Jehoshaphat, in light of that, I've got a word for you. It's in verse 15. He said, Jehoshaphat, I want you to know, the battle's not yours, it's mine. The battle's not yours, it's mine. The battle's not... Let me, a little old boy, little wormy boy. He was being bullied. He was being bullied. And by the way, there's nothing worse than bullying somebody. Bullying somebody. Shame on children that would bully somebody. Seemingly somebody's less than because they look different. They act different. They dress different. They wear glasses or something. God help us. If you got a child that's bullying another child, listen, you ought to take them to the woodshed and they ought to be bloodshed. Bullying somebody because they're somehow different. We're not superior to anybody, folks. God created us all equal. Nobody's superior. Wouldn't you like to be normal? What's normal? I can get anointed on that all by myself. He said, these three boys were bullying this little boy. Just bullying him. And finally, that little boy drew a line in the sand. And he looked that biggest bully in the eye. And he said, I dare you to step across that line. And that big bully stepped across the line. You know, one of those guys, big enough to eat hay and dumb enough to enjoy it. He stepped across the line. He said, I'm across the line now. What are you going to do about it? He said, I was just thinking, now we're on the same side. Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord's on your side. The Lord's on your side if you're on His side. Battle's not yours, it's mine. And he said, Jehoshaphat, here's what I want you to do. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising Him for His holy splendor. Here's what he said. The battle's going to start. Those three armies are going to start coming at us. They said, Jehoshaphat, what's the strategy? He said, here's the strategy. You all go in front and start praising God. You all go in front and start praising God. You praise Him. And folks, they did just that. And look what happened. And that very moment, they began to sing and give praise to the Lord. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. What happened, folks? They just praised God, and God allowed them to start fighting among themselves. Before long, they was all dead, and their spoils and their supplies were all there for the children of Judah. When you praise God, when you're in the heat of battle, God's going to work it out better than you ever dreamed of. If you just praise Him, I want you to understand, folks, the greatest weapon you have in the heat of battle is praising the Lord. Is praising the Lord. Let me tell you something. I said to Barbara the other day, I said, you know, Barbara, when I get old and gray, will you love me? She said, I do. I've got old and gray. And I've been doing it all these years. All these years. And throughout my ministry, I try to reach people, and I try to make workers out of them. I need to get him teaching Sunday school, and I need to get him ushering, and I need to get him greeting. I need to get him out there in the parking lot. I need to get him on a board. All my life, I've been trying to make workers out of people. But I'm 55 years old, and if I could go back and do it over, I wouldn't concentrate on making workers out of people. I'd concentrate on making worshipers out of people. I'd concentrate on making worshipers out of people. Because, folks, there's power in praise. There's power in praise. praise. A man stood up in a service much like this, and he said, I want to give $1,000 in memory of my son that was killed in the Persian Gulf War. A man and his wife did that. And there was another woman said to her husband, why don't we do the same thing? And he said, well, our son wasn't killed. She said, exactly. 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 Now, I'm not talking about $1,000. But what I am talking about, folks, we all have so much to thank God for. We all have so much to praise the Lord for. We all have so much to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry. I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.